Michael Bryant is a client. His commercials run on our program. But we have him on the program because he can update us on some very high-profile cases throughout the mid-Michigan, throughout the state, and even some now where he's going overseas. Some very high-profile cases, and we've got attorney Michael Bryant in studio this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Tony. Thanks again for having me.
Well, when you start to move, you avoid me because that moving stuff ain't fun.
No, it's not, is it?
Now, before we start talking about some of the cases you're involved with, just wanted to get your perspective, and I want you to put on two different hats. The prosecuting attorney, if the case comes up, and the defending attorney for the coach at Penn State. There's many allegations on sexual misconduct, if you will. And I just want to get, just as a guy who's seen this in the news, what are your thoughts from both sides of the story?
Well, first of all, it seems like it's an uphill battle for the defense here. Comments coming out that they saw the coach in the shower with a 10-year-old, I think that that's, you know, inappropriate at any level, and I think they're going to have a very uphill battle. On the other hand, that everyone is presumed innocent until proven guilty beyond a reasonable doubt, and it's really just going to come down to the facts of what the judge allows in for the jury to hear and them to make a fair and impartial decision. But I tell you, with all the publicity out there, it's going to be a very difficult time, I'll tell you, for him to get a fair trial.
Would you take that case?
Well, it's in a different state, but it would be very interesting. But right now, I'm too busy to take it.
But if you had the opportunity, would you defend that coach?
You know, I don't think I would at this point. I think that it's beyond my capabilities to defend someone that has so much evidence against him that would appear that way.
And what do you do? You're innocent until you're presumed innocent until you go to court and are found guilty. What do you do when you have someone who's guilty?
Well, you know, the attorney has the duty to protect his client and make sure that the prosecutor proves his case beyond a reasonable doubt. It's up to the prosecutor to prove our case, and it's not up to the defendant. And we strive to tell the jury that, is that, you know, my client doesn't have to talk, he doesn't have to present any evidence, and the Constitution protects that right. It is up to the prosecutor to prove their case.
Do you ask, hey, did you do it?
You know, a lot of times I don't want to know. I really don't. But, you know, reviewing through the file and reading the transcripts and reading their – a lot of times they may go ahead and confess but ask for a lawyer many times. And once they ask for a lawyer, that subsequent confession is out.
Well, let's talk about your Panama trip. Why in the world did you go all the way down to Panama?
Oh, let me tell you. I had the best time and most moving time. I flew into Panama City last Wednesday, and it's like going to Oz. It's skyscrapers as far as you can see, very clean, very nice people. Had a lovely time. I stayed there for two nights, and then I drove 300 miles near the border town or near Costa Rica. I went to Port Emilia as well as Chuñonola, and I met with 3,200 Panamanian banana plantation workers and in a football field, and it was the most moving experience. They'd never seen an American attorney. I'm the first one they'd seen, and they all came.
That can be kind of scary for some.
Except they were all so moving. They were all so happy to see me, and every one of them was showing me some kind of injury they received from the pesticide that was used on the bananas there during the 90s.
And so you're going to take that case?
I'm taking it. They terminated their current attorney, and I'm going back down there. We're going to have everyone sign up. Then we're going to file suit here in Michigan federal court.
Now, why in Michigan?
Because the defendant chemical company resides here in Michigan.
Who's the chemical company?
I will say when I file. I have to file by December 29th.
Okay, but you will file.
Oh, I have to file by 29th. The case was dismissed for form nonconvenience out of California when Dole was when they reached a settlement. The only remaining party then had their residence here in Michigan. And the case was dismissed but stipulated to be refiled here. So we're picking it up, and we'll be filing before December 29th. Why December 29th? Because you only have 1 year after the case was dismissed in California to refile here.
Dow Chemical Company comes to mind.
Could be. Yeah. They're one of the largest chemical companies here. And that could very well be the...
All right, let's talk about the Planning Commission meeting that you're going to be attending. There's going to be some bridge work done on Saginaw and MLK. Talk about that.
Yeah, last night I went to the planning meeting over in LCC, and we met with MDOT and some other folks. And my primary concern was, well, what are you going to do different on this project that you didn't do on the Saginaw case? And I asked specifically, do you have any special provisions for the small businesses up and down this area when the bridge closes? How are you going to protect them? And they could not tell me specifically. So I don't know what they're going to do. They said that they're going to listen to the folks and make some changes, but you know, they didn't really seem to care. It seemed like they had already had their mind made up.
So this is the City of Lansing Planning Commission?
MDOT.
MDOT.
And City of Lansing as well.
And so here we go again with a situation where there's some road construction and people's livelihoods are in jeopardy.
Very well. That is true.
And you are representing some folks who had businesses on Saginaw during the construction over the summer?
Yeah, we've been very blessed. We've got about 37 businesses, small business to medium businesses, that we're going to give notice to the state and to the county that we're going to file suit in 180 days, and we'll be giving that notice probably around the 1st of December.
Okay. Well, why does it take so long just to get all your ducks in a row?
It does. You want to make sure that you're not presenting a case that's frivolous or that there's no backing to it. The last thing the court system needs is a frivolous lawsuit. So we've gone over backwards to make sure all our case law and ducks are in line. Okay. To support the claims.
And some businesses have gone out of business.
Oh, one of my clients, Utter Creamery, of course, has gone out of business. And it was so sad to see them go. I have pictures of my dad there, and I hold cherish that, and we were eating ice cream there. And it's just like so many other businesses, the state of Michigan should be protecting them instead of walking through there like an elephant and destroying businesses.
All right, let's talk about Enbridge. Unbelievable news came out. More than 1 million gallons of gas. At first, we had been told that were dumped in during that leak, but it's more.
Oh, it's far more than what they said, and now they're really backpedaling. Now they're trying to explain how come their estimates were so low. And that really has a large effect on everything, including how much VOCs or volatile compounds had evaporated and gone through the neighborhoods. That's what we're suing for, is those evaporated compounds such as benzene, toluene, xylene that evaporate and then go across the neighborhoods. So,
Mike, what did they admit to now? How much as opposed to the million?
The calculations, I don't believe, came from Enbridge that were on the overage. So I don't quite know the source. Again, I just got back into town and saw the headlines from the inquiry yesterday.
Were they misinformed or were they trying to hide this information?
Well, I don't know that, and I can't speculate other than knowing what they said versus what came out is almost 50 to 75% more. And that was perfect timing because we have a big meeting at the Kellogg Center with about 4,000 people on Sunday, where we'll be talking about this. And the timing couldn't be any better. I expect us to have probably 6,000 or 7,000 people now at the meeting.
Really?
Yes.
That's how many people have been affected by this?
There's a total. Our calculation was about 25,000 people up and down the river.
And you're representing?
Right now we're up to about 5,600, mm-hmm. And I'd love to have them all. But right now there's a class. They're trying to – there's a firm called Hertz Schramm that's trying to get a class certified. So that means you can have an attorney in Detroit saying that he represents the whole group and never even meet them. And I think that's no way to present the case. So I do mass action where I represent each person individually in one lawsuit. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to pick off the proposed class.
Now, Enbridge just said that they're doing everything that they can to reimburse people and to get them going back in their lives the way it was before the oil spill. Do you believe that?
Well, I admit that they have helped some, but there's a pool of 25,000 people out there that haven't. There's just a ton of property damage that hasn't been addressed. All those property owners up and down the river have suffered reduction in the value of their home or their property.
Now, what Enbridge has said, because we've had representatives from that entity on the program several times, the last conversation we had was that there are people coming out of the woodwork who really suffered no ill will.
When you have 25,000 possible clients, you are going to have people coming out of the woodwork, but with very true and good claims.
All right, what's going on with compassionate care? I know there's a symposium coming up. It looks like the state the Attorney General and many municipalities throughout the state of Michigan are really making it difficult for these business folks to conduct their business. Tell us about the symposium and where the lawsuit stands.
Thank you. We have a symposium set for the 19th, that is at the Causeway Bay Convention Center, and we've invited some very compelling people to come. One of them is a Dennis Perrone. He's the one that helped set and develop the law in California, and we've invited him here to the symposium to help contribute. And the symposium basically is people who represent more than 10 or 15 people as representatives coming to the symposium so that we can discuss ballot proposals, what to do for November next year, what we may want to do with candidates, as well as try to get everyone under an umbrella for a political and legal purposes.
So you're busy.
I'm busy, yeah. But I love it.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you so much for having me, Tony.
These cases. Michael Bryant, attorney here from the Mid-Michigan area.